All right, so we're holding by the Mishnah on Yud Daled Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Misachin b'nesorin divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that you're allowed to use boards for schach, and we're going to see in the Gemara what size boards we're talking about. But Rav Meir oiser, whereas Rav Meir says it's oser. And again, we're going to see in the Gemara what size boards we're talking about, and why Rabbi Yehuda and why Rabbi Meir would have a problem with them. I mean, after all, we established before that as long as something grows from the ground, is not makabel truma, then it's fine. And boards are made from wood, which grows from the ground. And on the face of it, they're not makabel truma. So what's the problem? We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. We did have previously Tosfos on Daf Hey had given us a rule that sometimes you have boards that are makabel truma. For example, Tosfos discussed over there a board used by a baker to lay out the dough on, which we said is makabel truma. But those are wider boards. Those are really wide boards that are used like that. They're useful for rolling out and shaping the dough on, whereas here we're not talking about quite such wide ones, so we're going to see. Continues the mission. Nothing allowed Nestor show rochav abar tfachim. If you put on top of the sukkah a board that is 4 tfachim wide, kshera, then the sukkah is kosher, although vav shalei yishan tachtav, provided that you don't sleep underneath it, or do anything else that you're supposed to do in the sukkah underneath it. The reason we mentioned sleeping, actually, Tosfos Yom Tov says, is because, listen, you know, eating, after all, you're allowed to eat a snack outside the sukkah, but on the other hand, sleeping, you're not even allowed to sleep sheinas arei outside the sukkah. Later on, in the next parak, Bes Hashem, we'll talk about a little bit, we'll talk about what the Rebbe discusses in a sikha, in chelik chotes, what it is about on minhag that we don't sleep in the sukkah at all, and how that comports with the din that you're supposed to sleep in the sukkah. So we'll get to that, eventually. But in any case, when you're supposed to sleep in the sukkah, then you're supposed to sleep everything, even shenas arai, even if you want just a little nap. So therefore, the Mishnah stresses over here sleeping. Now, again, who this part is like, about this part with the board that you're not allowed to sleep under it, is it like everybody, or is it like everybody, like both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, or only like Rav Meir? Again, we're going to see in the Gemara. Rashi mentions we have to be talking about, evidently, that this board is, by the edge of the sukkah, because later on, in the next couple of blah, we're going to discuss the concept that posel schach in the middle of the sukkah is a problem if there's 4 tfachim of it. So here we're talking 4 tfachim, so therefore if it was in the middle of the sukkah, there'd be a problem. Necessarily we have to be talking about that it's by the edge, and we know from before, and we're going to discuss in more detail in the next couple of blah, that you have doifen akuma, it's halacha l'mishum sinai, that up to 4 amos, the posel schach by the side, can be considered as though the wall itself was bent over.
Sleeping in the sukkah, could it be interpreted midoraisa?
It's definitely midoraisa. The thing is that you have the concept, which we're going to discuss in the next parak, about mitzayir potim in a sukkah, that a person who's feeling discomfort from eating or sleeping or whatever in the sukkah is potter from it. The fact that we don't sleep in the sukkah is based on that concept of tzar, that a person would feel tzar, given the high level of kedusha of the sukkah, then it goes back to the mitzvah of the Rebbe. We said that how can a person sleep in makifim divina? But you have a sikha where the Rebbe analyzes this in great detail, and after all, how does this fit with the fact that there is a chiyuv daraisa to sleep in the sukkah, and just because we have a statement and a statement of Kabbalah like this can't contradict something in Nigla of Torah. So how is it possible that according to Nigla of Torah we have to sleep in the sukkah, but according to Kabbalah we shouldn't? So all of that is in that sikha. We'll talk about it as Hashem when we get to that discussion in the Gemara about Mitzayir. We can talk about it then, as Hashem.
Does that usually mean include sleeping?
Yeah, so the rule is teshuvu kein kadur. You have to live in the sukkah the way you would live in your house all year round. And in your house year round you sleep, therefore in the sukkah you have to sleep. But again, in Kabbalah there was the idea that it's difficult to, because makifim divina, so then the question becomes how that works with the nigla. But again, we're not going to get into that right now. We're going to get into that when we when we talk about the concept of Mitzvah later on in Daf Chafei or thereabouts. That's the Shem. All right, so let's go on. The Gemara starts off. Good morning, where we're destroying. The Gemara says, Omer Rab. Now, so again, we had a machlokes in the Mishnah between the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether you're allowed to use boards for schach. And Rabbi Yehuda had said yes, Rabbi Meir says no. So what kind of boards are we talking about? So Omer Rab, machlokes, b'nissarim shiyesh behen arba. The machlokes is about boards that are four or more tefachim wide. So why? So what's the machlokes? Did a mayor's isle gzeiras tikra? The mayor holds a gzeira of the roof. Now we know if a person obviously if a person's roof is made out of boards and he were to sit under that roof, obviously it would be possible because you didn't put up those boards l'shem sukkah and the Torah tells you you have to go out of your house and live in your sukkah. So if you were to just live in, if you were just to just say I'm living under a roof of boards anyway, I might as well use that as a sukkah. Obviously, that's not going to be a valid sukkah. So therefore, the mayor holds a gzeira of that. Now boards, now roof boards in those days, generally speaking, were at least four tefachim wide. Therefore, the mayor says that you have to make a gzeira that if you're going to be allowed to use boards for your schach of four or more tefachim, then you might just come to sit under your roof regular. But Rabbi Yehuda less like Zeras Tikra, whereas Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that. Abba ben Asorin she'en behen abba, but continues Rav, if the boards are less than four tefachim wide, divrei hakol kshera, then everybody's going to agree it's kosher, because even Rabbi Meir is not going to have a problem with that, because boards that narrow, less than four, are generally not used for roofs, are generally not used for ceilings. Shmuel says the other way around. The machloikas is when the boards are less than four tefachim wide, and we're going to see how narrow is he talking about. So therefore, avo yesh ben abba divrei hakol psula. But if they're four tefachim wide, everybody's going to agree it's possible. Because even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say at that point, it's not really much different than a ceiling. So the question is, what do you mean? Ein behen abba afil pachas mishloisha. So what do you mean? You're saying that according to Shmuel, the machlokas is that Rav Meir is going to say it's osur even if it's less than four, no matter how narrow it is, even if it's less than three wide. How could that be? How kanim ba'alman? You know, at that point, boards that narrow are not really, you can't really consider them boards anymore. At that point, they're pretty much just they're like sticks. Definitely, you can use sticks for your schach. We had a couple of Mishnayos ago, we said you can't use a bundle of sticks, fine, but individual sticks you can surely use, and if they're narrower than four tefachim, if they're narrower than three tefachim even, then they're tantamount to sticks. Why would the mayor have a problem with that? By the way, the Ran points out that there are places in the Gemara where we see that they use sticks for ceilings as well. But the answer is, the Ran says, in those cases, what they would do is they would bundle them together to make pieces, to make makeshift pieces wider than four tefachim, and then they would put those down and then smear plaster over them in order to make the ceiling, in order to make the roof, whatever. But individual sticks they wouldn't use for ceilings, and individual sticks you can truly use for sach. So what's the problem? So Amar Papa Hachikama. So the Papa says, right, what Shmuel means when he says less than four is a machlokes, he doesn't mean less than four no matter how little it is. What he means is Hachikama, Yesh ben abba divrei hakol psula. If the boards are four tefachim wide, everybody's gonna agree it's possible, because again then it's very similar to a ceiling. And if the boards are three tefachim wide or less, or less than three tefachim wide, everybody's going to agree it's kosher. My timer, kanim ba'alman, you know, because after all, less than three are considered just plain sticks, and even a mayor is not going to have a problem with that. The whole machlokas would be between three and four tefachim. So mar sovar. So now what we have is like this. Rabbi Yehuda is going to allow them up to four tefachim because he's going to figure, given the less new shiur makim, since they're less than four wide, and four is always a makim. For example, in Hilchas Shabbos, where you have a makim or a shesarabim or a shesayachid, whatever has to be at least four by four tefachim. Here, the board is not even four tefachim wide, so it's not really a makim. Therefore, he says that. Therefore, he says we're not going to make a zera on it. We're not going to not allow it. Or Maris Sava, Kimin the Nafgil, whom we told us Lavud. On the other hand, Reb Meir says, yeah, but on the other hand, three Tvachim is Lavud, and these are more than three Tvachim, so therefore they're no longer considered Lavud. In other words, if we were to consider them as if they were, if they weren't there, if they weren't there, then we said, we've learned before, and we're going to learn again later, that three Tvachim of empty space passels in Sukkah. So therefore, but less than three not, because less than three is considered lavud. It's considered as though it was joined and attached together. So therefore, once you have, according to Shmuel's understanding, once you have the board is more than three tefachim wide, so lavud no longer applies, then Reb Meir says at that point we have to be gozer, that you might think that in that case it's not really that much different than boards that you put up for your roof, and therefore Reb Meir is going to have a problem with it. Okay, so the Gemara says Tanan. Let's look at our Mishnah and see which of these two opinions it fits better with. The Mishnah says Nosim aleh neser to rochav arba tefachim. If you put on top of the sukkah a board 4 tefachim wide, ksheira, then we said the sukkah is kosher. Over vad shel yishan tachtav, as long as you don't sleep underneath it. So now the question is, which Tana does that follow? Vishlema l'Shmuel, so it works out easily according to Shmuel. The Amar v'she'ein v'behem arba machloikas, where Shmuel says that the machloikas is where it's less than four, meaning again between three and four, and above four he's saying that everybody would agree it's possible. Well then, in that case, avol yeshben abba direhakupsula b'shum hochi lo yishan tachtam. That's why the Mishnah is saying you can't sleep underneath it, because in other words, the Mishnah is telling us that is possible schach. And posel aschach, you're not allowed to sleep or eat or whatever underneath. So therefore, the point is that line of the Mishnah would be according to everybody. Elul Rav, the Amar v'Shiyesh Ben Abba Machloikas, but according to Rav, who says the old Machloikas is when they're less than four wide, when they are four wide, according to Rav, Avo ain behen abba divehakok sheva, but if they're less than four wide, then everybody agrees it's kosher. So, fine, four tefachim, only the mayor has a problem with it, according to Rav. Rav Yehuda doesn't, so why would the Mishnah be saying a generic statement that So why would the Mishnah be saying you can't sleep underneath it and phrasing it in a generic way like that implies that even according to Rabbi Yehuda you can't? The answer is, the Gemara says, Mi Sabat Dibre Hakol Hi. You're thinking that that last statement in the Mishnah is according to everybody. It's not. Sefer, Son of the Mayor. That Sefer is also according to the Mayor. In other words, we thought according to Rav, the flow of the Mishnah is, it tells Rav Yehuda's opinion, then Rav Meir's opinion, and then it says something which is true according to both of them, that a board 4 tefachim wide is posel schach, and that would only work according to Shmuel. Now we're saying according to Rav, no. The Mishnah is telling us Rav Meir's opinion, Rav Yehuda's opinion, and then continuing and telling us another aspect of Rav Meir's opinion. That if you put such a board, that it is posel aschach, however, if you put it on the side, then it's not a problem, because doifen akoma, however, you can't sleep underneath it, because you can't sleep under the wall of the sukkah. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's look at a Braisa and see which of these two opinions, whether it fits better according to Rav or Shmuel. A Braisa says Shneis Dinin Mitzkarpin, two sheets, which sheets of course are posel aschach because they're makabel truma. So two sheets combined together to make the four to make the four amos. So if you have four tefachim of them together in the middle of the sukkah, one next to the other, or four amos of them by the edge of the sukkah, here Rashi mentions we're talking specifically about the middle of the sukkah. So in other words, if you have one sheet, which is two tefachim wide, and next to it another one, which is also two tefachim wide, and you put them in the middle of the sukkah, then your sukkah is going to be possible because you have four tefachim together. So shnei stidim mitzdarpin, two sheets combined together. but continues the Braisa, Shnei Nesorin Emet Starfid, but two boards do not combine together. Reb Meir Omer Af Nesorin Kasbinin, and Reb Meir says that boards are like sheets in that regard, and therefore they are mitzvah. So again, v'shleim al Shmuel, the Amar v'shein ben Abba Machlokas. So according to Shmuel, who says that the Machlokas is when the boards are less than four tefachim wide, Abba Yesh ben Abba de'vehakol psula. But if the boards are four tefachim wide, then everybody's going to agree it's possible. Then my mitzvahim la'abba. Then what is the Braisa saying? It's saying that the two of them together, even though each one is not four wide, the two of them together combine to form a width of four tefachim, which is going to be possible in the middle of the sukkah. In other words, the Braisa would be saying, even Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that boards less than four are fine, so we can talk about whether they're mitzaref or not. We can talk about, so the mayor is going to say that they're mitzaref and therefore they make the sukkah puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say they're not mitzaref. In other words, you would have thought maybe that they would combine together and create a problem, namely that you're going to have four tefachim of board. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying not a problem because two individual boards rather than one. But therefore, it's shayach to talk about the word mitzaref in that connection. Elo l'rav, d'amar b'shiyesh ben abba machloikas, aval ein ben abba d'v'hakol p'sheira. But according to Rav, that says that the whole machloikas is when they're four tefachim wide, but less than four, even the mayor is going to say it's kosher. So then, when we talk about two boards combining together and creating a space of four tefachim, which is going to be a problem, teichi dami. What's the scenario? If the individual boards are four tefachim wide, then what do you need siruf? Each board by itself is four wide, and that's enough according to Rav to say that according to the mayor it's possible. So there's no need to mention anything about siruf. And id less b'hu abba amai, and if it's less than four, and Rav says that the machlokas is only by four and less than four, Rav says even a mayor would be fine with. So then, if each individual board is less than four wide, what's the problem? Amai. So what's the problem? B'hokan and b'almaninu, aren't they just sticks? And he said before that surely you're allowed to use sticks for your sach. So necessarily, therefore. How is Rav going to understand the Braisa over here? And Tosfos points out later on in a couple of blocks we're going to talk about an opinion of Rav that says that actually in order to pass all the sukkah in the middle you would need four amos. So then, of course, there's no question, according to him, what the Braisa is talking about over here. But we're saying that according to one version, the Gemara is going to have later, we're going to have a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel on the subject of Sach Posel, how much of it is needed to pass all the Sukkah, and we're going to have two versions of what Rav said. One is that he says four Tefachim, and one is that he says four amos. Anyway, the point is that, If you follow the opinion that he says four amos, then of course there's no question on him from this braisa. But if you say four tefachim, then how is he understanding this braisa? So the answer is la'olam de'isbahu abba. Actually, we could answer that we are talking about each board is four tefachim wide. You're saying then in that case, what are we talking about mitzarfin? Each board by itself is enough to be possible. Or my mitzarfin, ma'aba amos menatzad. All the braisa means, according to Rav, would be that you should know that these boards combine together to form the four amos apostle sach from the side. Meaning, in other words, again, we said that by the side, for sure, sach passels it only if there's four amos of it, because up to four amos, we can say doifen akuma, as if the wall itself was bent over. So the point is though that according to the mayor that Rav would say according to the mayor who says that boards four tefachim wide are possible schach, then the combination of them by the side is going to be enough to you'd have to have six of them because four amos is 24 tefachim. So if you had six of them, one next to the other, then you would have a posel sukkah, because then you can't say Yofin Akuma anymore. But we're not talking anything about being with startup in the middle. You're right. In the middle, we don't eat. You're right. In the middle, according to the mayor, if we have boards four tefachim wide, then we don't need to be with startup anything, because each board by itself is going to be enough to pass all the sukkah, because you have four tefachim of posel sukkah in the middle. Okay. So that's one way to answer the braisa. So that's how we can answer the braisa according to Rav. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, who says, according to Rav, that boards four tefachim wide are not posel, so he's going to say, well, in that case, then there's no problem. Ein mitzarfin, they never combine together, even to form four amas min atzad, is not a problem, because they're kosher as chach. The Gemara says, lishna achrina. Another version of the question on Rav and the answer. Another version goes like this. According to Shmuel, we understand. He said the machlokas is less than, when they're less than four. Avo yesh ben abba derehakob sula. But if they're four tefachim wide, everybody agrees it's possible. Again, like we said before, my mitztarfin, mitztarfin la'aba amas min atzad. Then we can answer. We don't need to say, like we said before, that mitztarfin, that mitzarfin means to combine together for four tefachim. Before we said in the first version that Shmuel had said if the machloek, this is when they're less than four, and we said Rameyer's mitzarfin would mean they combine together, because again, according to him, once they're three tefachim wide, Rameyer has a problem with them. So three tefach boards are going to combine together to six tefachim, and you're going to have a problem in the middle of the sukkah, because four tefachim is enough to pass it. So now, in the second version, we're saying that fine, we don't even need that. We can say that the mitzarfin means they combine together to form the four amos on the side. But according to Rav, how does he understand this braisa? Now, in the first version of the question, we had a problem even with Rameyer's, even with Rav's understanding of Rameyer in the braisa, because why is he saying mitztarfin? Because if they're less than four, there shouldn't be a problem, because according to him, Rameyer allows less than four, and if they're four, then you don't need two. But now, if we're going to assume that the braisa is talking about minatzad, then fine. Fine, we can easily enough understand Rameyer's statement, because when he says mitztarfin, we mean they combine together to form the four amos on the side. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that according to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that the boards are kosher even if they're four tefachim wide, my ein mitztarfin, then what do you mean what do you mean they don't combine? Kanim ba'almaninu, of course they don't combine. According to Rav Yehuda, boards four tefachim wide are no different than sticks. Obviously, you're not going to say you put a bunch of sticks one next to the other, you're going to have a problem. So why even mention the word mitztarfin? And the answer is, you're right. According to Rav Yehuda, you don't need to use that word. Since Rameyer uses the expression mitztarfin, therefore for consistency, Rabbi Yehuda says ein mitztarfin. But you're right, according to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no reason to mention the word mitztarfin at all, because according to him, obviously there's no siruf is not even relevant. So we're able to answer the braisa according to both Rav and according to Shmuel. According to the first version of the question and answer, we would say that according to Rav, the braisa was, we started with the assumption that the braisa is talking about four tefachim in the middle of the sukkah, and we say in the end it's talking about four amos by the side. And in the second version, we started with that as our initial assumption. We just had to figure out then why Rabbi Yehuda would use the word mitztarfin. And the answer is, you're right, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't really need to use the word mitztarfin. He's just using it for consistency with Rameyer. Okay. The Gemara says, Tanya Kavaseh de Rav, Tanya Kavaseh de Shmuel. Now, we have a Braisa like Rav's opinion, and we have a Braisa like Shmuel's opinion. So both of them, in other words, you can find Tanoim who understood the Machloikus of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda like each one of them. Tanya Kavasei de Rav, Sikacha v'nesarim shal erez, if a person used Peschach boards made out of cedar. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean dafka cedar. It's just a typical example that you would use cedar. It could just as well be any other material as well. One thing is though, typically they did use cedar for roofs. And again, therefore, since according to the mayor, since we're saying the whole problem is gzeiras tikra, the problem that you might use boards that are so similar to a roof that you're going to think to yourself, I may as well just sit under a roof. So that might be a reason to specifically dimension cedar. Okay, in any case, according to the first braisa says that if you use boards that are not 4 tefachim wide, divrei hakol kshera, then everybody is going to agree that it's kosher. Yesh behen abba, and if the boards are 4 tefachim wide, Rav Meir posel v'Rav Yehuda machshir. Rav Meir says it's posel, Rav Yehuda says it's kosher. And the braisa continues, Rav Yehuda brings a proof for what he's saying that boards 4 tefachim wide are fine. Amar Rav Yehuda, Meister b'shas sakana, it happened once in a time of danger. There was a zera from the government not to keep mitzvahs, from the Roman government not to keep mitzvahs, including sukkah. So we couldn't make a regular sukkah. We brought boards that were 4 tefachim wide. We put schach on top of a mirpeses. So a mirpeses we've described before as like a gallery, like you have an upstairs area where you have upstairs apartments where you go up some stairs and then you have this outdoor corridor that then you go and then walk along it to get in and out of the upstairs apartments. So again, usually they would put their sukkah freestanding on top of, very often in those days, they built their sukkahs on top of roofs. But here again, they couldn't do that because of the danger. So instead they put the boards on top of a merpeses. And instead of using regular schach, they use boards. So it wouldn't be so obvious that what they're making is a sukkah. And we sat under them and we had a sukkah. So you see that boards 4 tefachim wide are kosher. Amru loy, but the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, you bring a proof from there. Ein shasas hakana raya. You can't bring a proof from times of danger. In a time of danger, it's different. Now, Rabbi Yehuda can counter to that and say, yeah, but if there was a problem with boards 4 wide and less than 4 is fine, then at least what we would have done is we would have used boards that are narrower than 4. It's not like that would be so obvious to the Goyim that there's a difference between 4 and less than 4, and therefore we would have gotten away with it. So the fact that they didn't bother, the fact that they just used boards 4 fucking wide, says Rabbi Yehuda, shows there's no difference. On the other hand, the Chachamim can counter, maybe they weren't able to get boards narrower than that, maybe if they start cutting them narrower, then people are going to notice and master on them or whatever. So therefore, they might have still had reason to be concerned and to be careful about it, and not necessarily to make them narrower, even though properly speaking they should. There is also a discussion in this regard, by the way. Now, we're saying over here that boards are possible in the Darabanan because of Xeda. Everybody agrees that Daraisa boards would be perfectly kosher because, after all, they grow from the ground and they're detached from the ground and they're not Makabal Truma. So the question would be, if you have a situation like that, like Rav Yehuda is describing over here, would you in fact make a bracha on such a sukkah where the schach and it is possible in the Darabanan? Would we say maybe you don't make a bracha on it because, after all, it is posel d'rabbanan? Or would we say that maybe, after all, since in this case it's only a gzera, because you might confuse it with a roof, maybe therefore you could even say a bracha on it? In which case, if you say, according to the first possibility, that you can't say a bracha, then the point would be, okay, they're not going to be able to say a bracha. They're not really being a kind of mitzvah sukkah in the proper way like that, but at least they're doing that in order not to forget the concept of sitting in a sukkah at all. Anyway, the point is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to this Braisa, we see that Rabbi Yehuda allows it even with boards of four Tvachim, which is like Rav's understanding of the Machlokes. Next, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. On the other hand, then we have a Braisa like Shmuel's version, because the Braisa says, Sikcha ben Esorim shal Erez Shiyash ben Abba, if you use for the Schach boards that are four Tvachim wide, Divrei Hakol Psula, everybody's going to agree it's possible, which we said was Shmuel's understanding of the Machlokes. Ein Behen Abba, if they're less than four wide, the Meir posts over Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. The Meir says it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher, which again is exactly like Shmuel's understanding. And the Braisa continues, Umoyvir Rabbi Meir, She'im Yesh Behen Neser V'Neser K'Moy Neser, Rabbi Meir would agree that if you have space between one board and the next, the width of a board, and you filled up that space with regular schach, then it is going to be kosher. Rav Meir is going to say that in that case, if you have space between, let's say the boards, again, are between three and four tefachim wide, which Rav Meir is saying that those are possible because already they're too large to be lovered and therefore what goes on them. So he agrees that if what you do is you have a board and then schach next to it, and then another board and schach next to it, until you have stripes like that back and forth, so then it's going to be kosher. Now, later on Daf Yud Zayin, again, we're going to have the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel about how much posel schach in the middle of the sukkah passels the sukkah. We're going to have the opinion over there of Shmuel over there that four tefachim of it is enough to passel the sukkah. So over here, when you have a board and when you have a board and then schach and a board and schach, the question is how are the boards going to combine together? Each one of them, after all, is possible schach. How are they combining together with the kosher schach to make a sukkah? So Shmuel is going to explain over there in Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos, bring it over here, that according to Shmuel, what we're talking about is like this. Suppose that the sukkah is exactly 8 amos wide. So now what happens? You have a board of 4 tefachim by one edge. Next to it, you have 4 tefachim of psol. Psol is psolus gurdon v'yetiv. We talked about yesterday that schach is defined in the Torah as psolus gurdon v'yetiv. The leftovers from the threshing floor and from the wine press. In other words, the straw from the grain, the branches and things from the grapes. Those constitute kosher schach. So what we're saying is then that therefore many times when the Gemara wants to talk about kosher schach as opposed to things like boards or whatever which are questionable if not outright fossil schach, then the Gemara uses the word psol for it, which the word psol is related to the word psolus. Anyway, the point is, Shmuel over there described the scenario as follows. You're going to have, by one edge of the sukkah, you're going to have a board 4 tefachim wide. Then next to it, you have schach of another 4 tefachim. Then another board of 4. Then another schach of 4. And so forth. Working your way until the middle of the sukkah. So now you reach the midpoint of the sukkah. And there you have, on the edge of that, you have 4 tefachim of kosher schach. Then you start from the other side of the sukkah and do the same thing. Board, schach, etc. At the end, you have, in the middle, you have a space of 8 tefachim covered with regular schach, not boards. And the sides, you have, from the walls until there, you have alternating boards and schach, but that's no problem, because by the sides, we said you can have up to 4 amos of posel schach. You don't even need boards and schach there at all. You could have plastic over there, you could have whatever over there, and there wouldn't be a problem, because up to 4 amos is considered kosher schach. In other words, what is making your sukkah kosher in this case, Shmuel is going to say, would be the fact that you have 8 tochim of good schach in the middle, and therefore, and that 8 tefachim of schach is within 4 amos of each of the walls, and therefore we say 8 tefachim is enough, because we looked at the beginning of the Masechta that 7 tefachim is the minimum size of a sukkah, and you have there, you have less than four amos of schach, including boards, until the walls. So therefore, doifen akoma. So therefore, you're good. So Shmuel understands. So Shmuel understands your mayor's scenario that way. That you're talking about, not just the fact that you have kosher, that's not just the fact that you have kosher schach between the boards. The key thing, according to Shmuel, is that you have a space in the middle where you have a double, where you have a double width of kosher schach, totaling 8 tefachim. According to Rav and the Gemara over there, we don't need that, and we can just say we're talking about that the you have board schach, and the boards are going to combine together with the good schach to make kosher schach. Anyway, so that's the, that's in the Braisa over here. Going back, so continuing with the Braisa. So the mayor agrees that that's fine. On the other hand, continues the Braisa. Umodir of Yehuda sheim nosin alam nesser shu rochav avot tzvachim kshera. Rav Yehuda agrees, and again, this is in the Braisa that we said that agrees with Shmuel's opinion, that we said that boards four tefachim wide, according to Shmuel's understanding, and according to this Braisa's understanding, are possible according to everybody. So Rav Yehuda would agree that that if you put a board on it that's four tefachim wide, kshera, then the sukkah is going to be kosher, the ein yishenim tachtav, but you can't sleep under such a board. Yoshin tachtav, lo yotzi, and that if a person sleeps under such a board, then he's not going to be yotzi. Okay, so this braisa goes according to Shmuel's understanding of the situation that we're talking about over here where the board is that the boards are between three and four tefachim wide, and that's when the mayor and the Yehuda would argue, as opposed to if the board was four tefachim wide, then everybody's going to agree it's possible. There is a machloikas rishonim who the halacha is like between Rav and Shmuel over here. Usually in Dine Isser Beheter, usually the halacha is like Rav over Shmuel. On the other hand, on Amud Aleph, we have Rav Papa explaining Shmuel's opinion, and that seems to imply the halacha is like Shmuel, so the Rif says that's a reason to paskin like him. On the other hand, the Rosh says, come on, many times I'm a Roim explain reasons of Tanoim's opinions, even if they don't hold like them. But also, the next piece over here about a board that you turn on its side fits better according to Shmuel's opinion. So therefore, there are many Rishonim Paskin like Shmuel's understanding, and say that therefore, according to the mayor, there's a problem already more than three tefachim. On the other hand, some of them Paskin like Rab, that there's only, when we have a Machloikas or mayor and a Yehuda, our Lapa is usually like a Yehuda, so therefore it would mean that, there's a problem with boards only four or more wide. With that said, Hagoris Maimonius on the Rambam points out, in later times it became common to use even narrower boards for ceilings. You have nowadays, for example, they don't necessarily use boards that are four tefachim wide for ceilings and roofs. They may use much narrower ones. So therefore, even narrower ones can be a problem. On top of that, also, the poskim point out, Achronim point out, if you use boards, you have a problem. You may put them so close together that you're going to have, your sukkah is going to be rainproof. And if your sukkah is rainproof, then it's not a sukkah anymore, it's a house. So therefore, they talk about that in general, the minhag is not to use boards for schach at all. Now, obviously, you use things like 2x4s to hold up your schach, and that's not a problem, but to actually use, to actually put one board next to another and use them for schach, in general, we don't do, unless, like we said before, in Rav Yehuda's opinion, it's a shas v'chach. Furthermore, the Gemara is going to point out, actually, on the next Amud, on Tesvav Amud Aleph, that there can be a problem anyway with boards that are plain smooth, that those might be considered more like kalim anyway, but we'll get to that. Okay. Itmar. So now we have a discussion in this connection about boards. So now, let's say, so we're talking about boards that are possible. Four tefachim according to everybody, less than, between three and four tefachim according to the mayor, according to Shmuel's understanding, and according to Rav, the question would be only according to the mayor. So suppose you took such a board, and now you think of it. The width of the board is three or four or whatever it is tefachim, but the thickness of it is a lot less than that. So, hofchan al tzidehen. What happens if you turn the board on its side? What would be the din? Do we say that then the gzera doesn't apply anymore because now the thickness is less than three or less than four tefachim? Or do we say once the board is osur, then intrinsically it remains osur? So, Rav Huna Amar Psula, Rav Chista V'Damah Bar Rav Huna Amri Treya. So Rav Huna says it still remains posel, because the Gemara is going to say soon, since it's already called posel, then therefore it remains posel. Just like we wouldn't say, for example, let's say iron spits or iron sticks, we're not going to say that they're kosher, that they're kosher if you turn them one way or the other. They're intrinsically posel. The same way we're going to say that these boards that are 3 or 4, whatever it is wide, are intrinsically posel, and even turning them on the side is not going to make a difference. Therefore, so Rav Huna is going to say that they're still posel. But Rav Chista, Rav Huna, Amri Kshera, they're going to say it's kosher, because look, the whole point of the Zera is that we're concerned that a person is going to think he can sit under his roof. Well, then, therefore, by roof, you use them with the wide side, of course. So therefore, in this case, if you turn them 90 degrees and you're putting them on the edge, then there shouldn't be a problem. So the Gemara tells, Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman one time visited Sura. Ula gabe Rav Chista v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna came to visit him, to ask him what's the din in this. V'amri lei hofchan al tzideihem ma'u. And they asked him what would be the din in this case if you turn the boards on their side. Amalahu psula. So he tells them it's posel, like Rav Huna said, and he gave a reason. Rav Huna just said it's posel without giving a reason. But Nachman supplies a reason. Nasu kishfudin shomatras, because in effect they become like iron spits. In other words, again, it's an intrinsic psul, and they're posel, that's it. So therefore, we can't say that you turn them on their side, they become kosher. There's a number, the Roga Chava learns from this a concept, which the Rebbe brings in a number of sichas, that you have, we see this, and we see other examples, where the Chachamim declared that something is osur, and once it becomes osur, then it becomes a very strong issur, and it becomes, in effect, an intrinsic issur. We don't just say, in other words, that a din de rabbanan is because of such and such a reason, and therefore where the reason doesn't apply, then maybe the gzeder shouldn't apply either. Because in this case, for example, the reason shouldn't apply. You don't use boards on their edges, on their sides for roofs. And nevertheless, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are telling us, and the halacha is like them, that in fact it's going to be osur. And then there are other examples of that in halacha as well. So Rav Huna says to Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna, Loi Amri Lachu Im Amri Kavasi, didn't I tell you previously that you should say like me? Now you see that Rav Nachman also agrees with me, and he even gave a reason. Omru Lei, so Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna said to him, Omalon, Omi Omalon Mar Taimer Vole Kablinin Minei, Rebbe, did you give us a reason and we didn't accept it from you? In other words, you didn't give us a reason, so therefore we didn't think that we didn't accept your opinion. Now Rav Nachman is giving us a reason, so good, then we'll accept that. Amalahu, so Rav Huna says, did you ask me the reason and I didn't give it to you? You never asked for the reason, so I figured, the Gemara mentions there's a similar dialogue in a few other places in the Gemara, and where the Amorita says, I thought you didn't need. So Rav Huna says, I thought, I mentioned the halacha to you, I figured you could figure out the reason on your own. So I b'chlal didn't understand why you held differently. Now, apparently you didn't know the reason. Now you heard the reason from Rav Nachman. Now you're ready to accept it, but you should know all along that was the reason that I had in mind. I just didn't tell you because you never asked. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, can we say that the following Braisa supports Rav Huna's opinion? A Braisa says, Eina Machzekas Kedei Reisha B'Rubba V'Shochanai. Here's a number of cases where a sukkah is possible. One of them is if the sukkah is not large enough to fit his head and most of his body in his table. As we learned back on Daf Gimel, that a sukkah has to be at least 7x7 for him in order to fit that. And since it's not, then therefore it's possible. Oy, shenifritza b'pirtza. Or if you have a sukkah of any size, where there's a hole in one of it, where there's a hole in one of the walls, more than 3 tefachim, 3 or more tefachim, kedeshi is dakabog di bevasroish, which is large enough for a goat to be able to jump through it, to be able to jump through it easily. She is daka means to jump, and bevasroish means like all at once, like you can just jump straight through. 3 tefachim from the ground. So we're going to talk about that 3 tefachim later on in the perek. that if the wall is three or more tefachim off the ground, it's possible, and that's the reason, because then it can't be considered a mechitza, because goats can walk right through it. We learned about this concept way back in Eruvin as well. We have the same issue of Kadeshi's Daka Ragdi, that once you have that a Gdi can walk straight through, then it can't really be considered a mechitza. Anyway, so that's another example where the sukkah is possible. Or if you put on the sukkah a board which is 4 tefachim wide, even if you only put 3 tefachim of it into the sukkah, psalah, then the sukkah is possible. Now, what do we mean? Now, let's focus on that last case where you put in 3 tefachim out of the 4 tefach, out of the 4 tefach board. My lab, kagan shahofchon al tigehem. Lechora, we're talking about that where you turn them on their side. In other words, we're talking about a board. We're talking about like one of these thick. We're not talking about a board like the kind you typically think of, which is very wide, but then is only an inch or two thick, like a 2x4 or something. We're talking about something more like one of these wooden pillars that you can buy in Home Depot or something, where the width of it is fairly close to the length of it. So we're talking about, let's say, that the width of the board is 4 tefachim, the thickness is 3 tefachim. And you're putting it on its side, on its thickness, so therefore you only have 3 tefachim, in the sukkah. And that would be a proof for the Hunna. Then the Braisa would be telling us exactly that even though you did that, and you would think therefore it should be kosher because it's a board only 3 wide, but no, because it's 4 wide in the other dimension, and therefore it's possible. It must have learned, not necessarily is that a valid proof. Because we could just as well be talking about a hochav mayaskinen, we're going to ancha puma dimatalalta. We can be talking about instead that the case is you put the board by the opening of the sukkah. So let's say, in other words, you have a typical sukkah in those days was made out of 3 walls. You took a board 4 tefachim wide and put it by the front of the sukkah, the aisle tlosa legam ba'apet chad levar. So you put 3 tefachim of it inside the sukkah and 1 sticking out. The havel a pesel a yotzim in a sukkah. Now what happens? Psol, whatever, a yotzim in a sukkah. Now, in effect, this is the din of you have schach that is sticking out of the sukkah. B'chol psol a yotzim in a sukkah, nida in kasukkah. And we're going to have a din later on Dr. Tess that if you have schach sticking out of the sukkah, the case over there, suppose, the case over there that the Gemara describes, is you have the sukkah, you have one of the walls of the sukkah extends beyond the rest of the sukkah, and with it you have some schach sticking out. The din is that schach, that area, is still considered part of the sukkah, even though that part does not have 3 walls around it. So by the same token over here, it would be the other way around, mechumra. The 4th tefach is still going to be considered as if it was inside the sukkah. Therefore, it's as if you have a board 4 tefachim wide in the sukkah. Now, obviously, if the rest of the sukkah is large enough, then you don't need this board to make it kosher anyway. The sukkah is going to be perfectly kosher. All it is you're not going to be able to sleep or eat under the edge where the edge of this board is, according to this way of understanding. But the rest of the sukkah is 7x7 and it has 3 walls and it's going to be perfectly kosher. When would we be saying that it actually passes the sukkah? Is that the sukkah is only 7x7, such that you needed this board to make up the rest of the 7 tefachim, and you don't have it because the board is, again, the board is considered to be possible because 3 tefachim of it, because even though only 3 tefachim of it are in the sukkah, and we're a little less than 3 tefachim, and we said, according to the mayor, less than 3 tefachim is fine, but it is an actual board of 4 tefachim, and the rest of it is sticking outside the sukkah, and therefore that becomes an extension of the sukkah. So we could understand the braisa that way, and if we understand it that way, then it's not necessarily a proof for Rav Huna's din. So nevertheless, Rav Huna's din is still a din, that the boards that are 4 tefachim wide, the boards that are 4 tefachim wide, or between 3 and 4, according to the mayor, according to Shmuel's understanding of a mayor, that they're possible, and even if you turn them on their side, they still remain possible. But the case in our braisa over here, where you're talking about a 4 tefach wide board, is not necessarily and it says that if you put 3 tefachim of it in the sukkah, is not necessarily a proof for that, because it might be talking about this case where it's not necessarily talking about the case where you turned it on the side it's talking about, it could just as well be talking about where you have some of it sticking out of the sukkah. By the way, you do have a case on the other hand that, that the Foshim talk about, the Mogen Avraham explained that actually if it was the other way around, what if you put this board, this four tefach wide board, instead of putting it by the opening of your sukkah, we were saying one tefach of it is sticking out of your sukkah and three tefachim of it are inside your sukkah. What if you did the other way around? What if you put it on the other end of your sukkah by one of the walls, by the side wall, the back wall, or whatever, such that one tefach sticks out behind the sukkah and three tefachim of it are over the sukkah? Then the Mogen Avraham says it would actually be fine. It would actually be fine because since you have a wall over there, then that would constitute a chatzitza between the three tefachim and the one tefach. So therefore, we wouldn't necessarily consider this to be one board of four tefachim anymore. So then we would say that it's fine. Rashi uses the expression over there. Yeah, Rashi uses the expression that it would be considered doifen akuma. What he means is now, this is the classic case of doifen akuma because you don't need that. It's less than three tefachim wide and it's kosher anyway. What he means, in other words, in effect, is that the outside part of the board is that the board is considered to be part of the is considered to be part of the sukkah as opposed to the part that's sticking out, which is considered a separate part. It's as if this board was divided in two. But you would actually, according to that, you'd even be able to sit underneath it because again, it's less than four tefachim wide, less than three tefachim wide, and therefore it would be fine. Let's start the next Mishnah and do a little bit of Gemara on it. Mishnah says, Tikra she'ena leo maziva. Suppose you have a roof where there's no plaster on it. Now, again, we said before that roofs are usually made out of boards, but you have the problem, so if you have plaster on it, plaster or mud or whatever maziva is exactly, that'll hold the board together, obviously that's going to be possible for a sukkah. But if you don't have plaster on it, so now the only problem is again, the problem is you didn't put up these boards l'shem schach, you put them up for a roof. So now what do you do in order to undo that? So Rabbi Yehuda says that there was a machloikas b'shamay b'shilol what to do. B'shamay omer mefatnik. B'shamay says you have to loosen the nails, you have to take out the nails and move the boards. And the notes of achas b'bintayim, and then you have to take out every other board and put in kosher schach instead. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'shamay says you need both things, and then we'll see in the Gemara why you need both. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'shamay says mefatik oy note of achas b'bintayim. That according to b'shamay, it's enough to do one or the other. Either you take out the nails and move the boards. Or you take out every other one and put regular schach in. Either way, the point is you're doing some kind of maisa, so therefore you're undoing the task of alaymina osri problem. The whole problem was that you put these boards down, not l'shem schach, so now if you either take out the nails and move the boards, or if you put in kosher schach between every other one, then according to the Sillel, that's enough to take away the task of alaymina osri problem. The mayor says there's no machloikas b'shamay b'shilol on this. Noitzel achas mimentayim ve'ein mefatnik. You dafka have to take out every other board. It doesn't help to remove the nails and move the board and put them back down because again, the mayor is following his shita of the previous mishnah that there's a problem of boards because zeras tikra, because then you're going to think that you can just sit under a roof. So therefore, even if you take out the nails and you pick up the boards and put them back down, what good does that do you? You're still talking about boards that are four tefachim wide, and you still have the same problem. But if you take out every other one and put in schach there, then again, you're only going to have, then we're subject to the machloikas Rav and Shmuel that we're going to learn later on Daf Yud Zayin how much schach possible you need to passel the sukkah, and we're going to discuss there how both of them understand our Mishnah. So the point is that according to the mayor, just taking out the nails and picking up the boards and putting them back down is not going to be enough. You're going to need to actually put in kosher schach between them, and therefore, according to him, the shama and the sila both agree with that concept. There is, by the way, now here we're talking about, according to Rashi, we're talking about the boards are four tefachim wide, and the problem is that, and that's why Rav Meir is saying that taking out the nails, that taking out the nails is not enough. On the other hand, different Rishonim talk about the Ritva, the Ramban, talk about that, on the other hand, sometimes the fact is, you do sometimes have ceilings and roofs that are made out of boards less than four tefachim wide. And for that and for a few other reasons, they explain that actually we're talking about over here, the boards are less than four tefachim. So the thing is, here we have a different thing than the previous Mishnah. We talked about just you put down boards, you never have any schach there when you put down boards. So the question is only Xeras Tikra. Here you have an addition, you have the problem of Tassav, I mean, Osri, therefore, even if the boards are narrow enough that there wouldn't be a problem of Zeras Tikra, you still have to deal with the Tassav, I mean, Osri issue, and therefore the question becomes what you need to do in order to undo that. Fine, so I guess we'll stop over here. I guess we'll redo the Mishnah tomorrow in order to have it together with the Gemara, and we'll continue from there, Beth Sashem. Shkayach, everyone.
Shkayach.